Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
Hello and welcome to Perspective. I'm Beth Espy. Tonight, we're continuing our election coverage, speaking to existing members of the House of Keys who are seeking re-election in September. Today, I'm joined by a Douglas MHK who was first elected in 2006 when he topped the poll. He's been a member of the Department of Tourism and Leisure, Trade and Industry, and more recently, the Department of Economic Development. He's been a member of the Manx Electricity Authority and since 2007 was vice chairman of the Post Office. He's sat on various committees, including Economic Initiatives, Timwood Management and Timwood Honours. He has a keen interest in all things musical and is a treasurer of the Isle of Man Church Music Association and trustee of the Douglas Buxton Music Trust, and he's also the chairman of the Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association and was made an MBE in 2007. He is West Douglas MHK, Jeff Corkish. Mr Corkish, good evening. Thank you for joining
Hello,
us.
Hello, Beth. My pleasure.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, you were first elected in 2006. No political experience before then. What did you want to achieve by becoming a politician?
By not having any political experience beforehand is not to say that I didn't want to become involved in politics, but certain jobs preclude you from it. And certainly the job I had, which is a very high-profile job, didn't allow me to join. Yes, I would have liked to have joined Douglas Town Council, for instance, but it wasn't possible. So it was something that was burning within you, and it sounded a little bit corny. You know how some people say it was like a calling. It's almost like being a vicar, perhaps. You know, you had a bit of a calling, and I wanted to do it, you know. And I'd been, perhaps in the job that I had, you were dealing with people. Politics is very much a people job, mixing with helping, sorting, doing things for people. That's the kind of job I had before, and I enjoy talking to people. Now, I thought the next move on for me, being a part of the community, as I thought I was then, would be a better part, to do a little bit more than what I was doing outside the 9-to-5 job, would be to give a little bit more. It sounds a bit corny, yes, but that's what it was, and I'm sure other MHKs and budding MHKs will think the same thing too. They wanted to make a difference and thought they had some qualities that would help them do that and interface with the people.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the differences you think you have made then. I mean, what would you say has been your main achievement on a national level?
On a national level, I think my work in the Department of Tourism, I think I've been associated with tourism from the old job, and it certainly wasn't a surprise to me that I was put into the Department of Tourism, as well as other departments as well. A very challenging job, tourism. We've a lot of experts on the Isle of Man who all have an interest in tourism. And why? Because a lot of the qualities that are brought about by tourism affects the Isle of Man and keeps standards of the Isle of Man up. And I think we had a lot of work to do within that department. And I think I made quite a bit of a difference there. And I think we're a leaner, keener, a more successful department now, and certainly in the last 18 months where I've had sole responsibility for that under the minister, I think we've gone head and shoulders. But we've set lots of standards which have been good for the Isle of Man, and we now have just under 50% of our accommodation here on the Isle of Man at 4- and 5-star level. That's dragging up standards tremendously well. And that's all profiling. I think the other, on a national level, is my work in the with the TT and the Manx Grand Prix that have grown out of all proportions now. And yes, there's a big team there as well, but I've been very honoured to be leader of that and help direct. And that's the job for the MHK in politics, is to drive, be enthusiastic, be passionate about what we're doing, and bring people with you. And I'm glad to say that that passion and enthusiasm has been shared by the team, and I think we've made big strides there.
Well, when you talked about tourism in your 2006 manifesto, you said you needed to stop talking about it and do something about it.
Absolutely.
Now, what people wanted, and what you actually said, was that we wanted a recreational facility that was not just for visitors, but was also for the residents, an all-weather facility, an indoor
stadium, dead right,
etc. Well, it hasn't happened, has it?
And no, it hasn't. And if we're going to talk about, as we will now, about how we're dismayed about not everything has gone my way, I was one of the leaders in pushing for the Summerland site to be developed. and I had lots and lots of talks. It was a passion, still is a passion of mine, that we haven't anywhere to provide for young people. Having said that, there's a tremendous amount going on in the Isle of Man for young people. And I do get a little bit upset sometimes when people say, you know, there's nothing for our children to do.
But
there's
a huge amount of stuff to do. Sometimes it's the children themselves saying that.
Well, absolutely. But there's a huge amount of thing. We won't go into that now, but we can go into pages about what's going on in the Isle of Man. What I wanted to do was to develop the Summerland site. Now, the Summerland site, there were one or two ideas there. Some people wanted to turn it into a car park, multi-storey car park. Some people would talk about, this is in the department and outside the department, who perhaps wanted to turn it into more luxury accommodation apartments. I didn't. I thought if we did that, that would be a nail in the coffin of tourism, because the Summerland site, the Derby Castle site, whatever you want to call it, has always been an icon of the tourism part here in the Isle of Man. So I thought that's a good site to use. And we worked very closely. I chaired some of the meetings looking for something to go there. And we had a very good proposal, if you remember, called The Wave. That, unfortunately, and I'm not washing my hands of it here, but I wasn't on the final agreed panel that was going forward. It fell. I don't think it was the fault of government. It probably wasn't the fault of anybody, but I think that the parameters laid down and were not acceptable to both parties. So that, I will hold my hands up there and say that I did expend a lot of blood, sweat and tears on the Summerland site and the concept of that. And that is something that will... that I'm not finished with it yet. We've got other things to do. There's other sites that we could use, and I think we still push for that. And the other thing I would say about this too, and people say a little bit surprised, he's me responsible for tourism. Forget about what the visitor wants. Let's build for us here, you know, the 82,000 people who are here using the Isle of Man, being on the Isle of Man 365 days of the year. We want those facilities. You want those facilities for your children. I want them for my children and grandchildren. The visitor will get that because we want it. So one of the great things about tourism is we're laying down foundations for ourselves as well as in bringing people here. The other part of that, of course, is on the tourism side. I was very much a part of and helping to push the promenade development that's taking far too long. Well, that's what happens. That's one of the frustrating parts of this job, is things don't happen as you want to do it, because the promenade is a recreational place for us. Great place to be winter and summer. We don't always have bad days in the winter time. We could develop the Isle of Man Douglas Promenade as a shop window, and that's no disrespect to all the other towns and villages in the Isle of Man, but it's our shop window. And that is also good for business. From the business side, we're attracting corporate business here to the Isle of Man to see a bristling promenade really up to 20th century standards. You know, we're not. We failed in that. Okay. But we're moving there now, I'm glad to say, and I've been very much a part of pushing that.
Well, let's stay just very briefly, if we can, with the notion of tourism. And I'm interested in the fact that early this year, with your tourism hat on, you claimed that the island's hotels were full for the next 2 years. Now, we had somebody from the Manx Hospitality Partnership who said that wasn't true and questioned where you got those figures from. Where did they come from?
Well, they came from the department. So we were quite right in what we said there. That
you still believe
the accommodation that we had. Yeah, absolutely. And you talk to some people now. I was only talking to a hotelier a few days ago. They're booked up until 2016.
But is that just one hotelier? I mean, we need.
No, well, it was one hotelier I was talking to
as a whole.
But remember, this is a two-way thing. This is a partnership between tourism and the hoteliers, the accommodation providers. And that's the feedback that we got, that accommodation was fully booked. Now, yes, there won't not all that accommodation. I can't say that all accommodation, perhaps, but certainly a vast majority of that, were doing pretty well. Now, there'll be a lot of people now, there'll be a lot of hoteliers jumping up and down saying, I haven't got anybody coming into my hotel. The feedback that I've had, and I set up part of my way of doing things, is to meet with people, talk to people around a table, meet in the middle somewhere. Now, I developed a steering group within the department and other departments I've been in as well, where you get everybody's feedback. That's a fair and balanced way to talk to people, and that's the way we should all get on in this life, certainly in the Isle of Man, because it's such a small place, we can do that, and that's our great strength. And they would all agree with me, to a large degree, not in total, of course, it's not an ideal world, that the tourism in the Isle of Man, certainly compared to Blackpool, to Jersey, Guernsey, we're doing pretty well. You compare the figures now, we're doing pretty well.
Really?
Absolutely. And I only had that today because I knew you might ask me that, or whoever was going to interview tonight, how we compare with Blackpool, Jersey, Guernsey. We're doing all right. I'll tell you that now. I haven't got the actual figures. I can't quote figures to you. And that's not being complacent, but we're doing pretty well here in the Isle of Man.
Surely, though, people would just say, this is you with your PR hat on. You're doing the spin for government.
If people know me, they know that I'm not a fella to embellish. I'm a fella. What you see is what you get, I would like to think.
That's really?
Yeah, absolutely. And if I was to spin, what benefit is that to me?
You know,
now tomorrow morning, now we'll do it by hard work and we'll do it by gesture. Tomorrow morning, now there'll be all kinds of hoteliers saying, well, I'm empty. All right, well, come and see us and talk to us. That's what I did, you know. Come and talk to us and see what we can do. There is a huge amount, still a huge amount, of accommodation providers here in the Isle of Man, all doing their very best. We have a good grant system in the department. There are more and more people using that, accessing that. In fact, I made the department model to do that more accessible for more people. But I honestly believe, and I wouldn't say it if I didn't, I honestly believe that tourism in the Isle of Man will not be complacent, and there will be hotels and accommodation providers who are struggling, but we're doing as much as we can to attract people to the Isle of Man, and we'll do that even more when we get our infrastructure right. We get a decent promenade and a shopping centre going, and we also have something like a Summerland place to go. We're doing all that we can. So okay. I wouldn't want the department to be hit all the time by people saying that we're not doing what we're doing. Tourism will never be what everybody wants because there's no ideal situation. We're doing as much as we can. And the feedback I get from hoteliers who are working hard is that times aren't so bad, and we'll make sure that, or do our very best to make sure that we're doing as much as we can for the hoteliers, accommodation providers on the Isle of Man.
Okay, well, I'm sure we could talk about that in lots more detail, but let's focus on some other areas. And I'd just like to pick up on something that you said during your mandate interview at the start of August.
Yeah.
When you were asked what facilities you'd brought in for your own constituents over the past 5 years, you said nothing for West Douglas in particular. Now, you didn't have the chance to elaborate on that because...
No,
time,
I didn't. It was a poor interview.
That does seem to be a startling admission from someone who wants the people of that area to re-elect him.
The answer to that, given the time and the courtesy at that particular interview, was that what I'd done for Douglas West constituents is what they asked me to do, and I tried to do it. Now, that is the usual. We haven't got any big business in Douglas West, so there's no capital big schemes that I could have said. What I probably should have said, given the time, as I say, and the courtesy, would be that whatever Douglas West people have asked for, I have done my best to, as a constituency member, such as quality of life, area problems that people have day to day, because it's not as if, you know, we can put... If you had to income tax up 2 or 3%, it would be a big bang. But the other problems that people have, certainly in Douglas West, are the day-to-day problems, which is like a toothache. Now, I've done as much as I can, certainly in that area, and I think I hopefully have I'm an accessible kind of fella. Probably too, we have a post office facility back in Douglas West as well now at the Wessex Garage, which was a big bone of contention too in the island. But Douglas West, people, it's not as if I'm living in an area which is where I'm one constituency member for one town which has a lot going on in it. Douglas West is a residential area with residential problems, and the residential problems, both I and the other sitting member have done our level best to address. So I wasn't being dismissive there of, oh, I've done nothing. You know, you can't do that in politics, certainly not in the Isle of Man.
Well, in your letter outlining your intention to stand again, you do end it with the words, Jeff Corkish bringing sense to democracy. Over the past 5 years, it could be argued, really, that you've brought quite a bit of silence. You haven't been very vocal in the House of Keys, in Tynwald. You haven't answered very many questions. I know people have been criticised for asking too many.
I'll accept that and take it.
Surely, but people, if you top the poll, people want somebody who's dynamic, who's out there, who's questioning, and who can be seen in the public light.
I would rather think they also want somebody who's going to do the job, be seen to be doing a job, and who is receptive and responsible.
But you were completely...
Now, when I went into politics, it was because I wanted to do my bit for the Isle of Man and its people, and that's the first care of a politician and government. And what I did was... And I made this pact with myself, to sit, listen, and learned. I hadn't been a part, right. Now, what I did see was, and which didn't enamour me with politics in the Isle of Man, I saw a lot of ego trips. I saw a lot of backstabbing. I saw a lot of people scoring points. Now, I'm not into that. I'm not that competitive. And what I found, which was good for me and good for, I hope, for the people, was that I asked the questions in the right place. You don't have to ask a question in the House of Keys. It was only a few years ago they brought Question Time into the House of Keys. And I think there are other senior politicians, past and present, who would say that Question Time perhaps is open to abuse now. Now, what I have done is, well, I certainly have asked questions, and I've been involved in debates on the national interest. Not on everyone, but on the national interest that I find that people are interested in, not everyone. So I wouldn't say that I've done nothing. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. And the easiest thing in the world was picking up a phone, talking to the minister, talking to the chief exec, and saying, why is this not being done? If they don't answer that, don't help you, then you can ask a question and waste time. But it costs about, I don't know, £1,500 a question. You know, now you look at the amount of questions going through, which could have been done. I'm not there for the limelight. I'm there to do a job. Okay. I was in a job before which had a lot of profile, a lot of limelight. Been there, done that. I want to do the job.
Do you want a ministerial position?
If offered, I would certainly take it, because I think to do it would be to dismiss your responsible attitude to doing what you did in the Isle of Man. So but that would certainly be up to a chief minister.
Is that why,
and the kind of people he wanted to be in.
I mean, he or she. Is that why Indeed. You've done your best to secure a senior position, keeping quiet, staying out of political
trouble? I think I've acquired a senior position because the qualities, I'd like to think anyway, the qualities that I have been recognised. I'm so glad that I'm part of the lead. Whilst I didn't vote for the restructure of government because I knew it would be a big upset, what I did vote for, 110%, was the formation of a Department of Economic Development, which is going to do its best to lead and look at all the opportunities, the entrepreneurialism that we have here in the Isle of Man. And one of the things going forward for me, whether I'm in that whether I'm elected or not, and whether I get into that department again, would be the private political partnership, which can bring so much. We have so many people here on the Isle of Man who have got so much to bring to the good of the Isle of Man. We're just not harnessing that. And one of my great strengths, I would like to think again, is that I can talk to people and have a lot of useful contacts, both from the job before, but also from the way that I interface with people here on the Isle of Man.
In your manifesto for 2006, under the heading of government expenditure, you did say that if private business embarked upon the buying and operation of acquisitions as shown by the previous government, heads would roll. Given that experience, then, that you say you have in the business industry, and that opinion that you stated very strongly, what government expenditure have you voted against in the past 5 years based on that?
Well, certainly the one that sticks in mind is the structure of government, which I knew was going to be a cost. Now, nobody knows what the cost of that is. But just to elaborate on that, that's been and gone. What I'm looking for now, we look to the future. I've always regarded the Isle of Man, government and the Isle of Man, as running a business, same as, you know, other people do. And I think that's a pretty good way to go forward. What I'm saying now is whoever has made a minister, let alone the chief minister, whoever takes a ministerial position in our next government has really, really got to perform. They've not got to be afraid of not making friends, because they've got to be a manager of their department and really have to make it work and really have to be lean and keen in what they do.
But I'm talking, I want to focus on your experience, as you say, with regard to business, and the fact that you promised, really, in your 2006 manifesto, that you would pick up on items of expenditure that you didn't necessarily think were the right way forward. And I do think there have been occasions where spending could have, at the very least, been questioned. The debate on the Richmond Hill Highway Improvement Scheme, for example. Within that, there was the £250,000 for the car park at the Home of Rest for Old Horses. Several of your colleagues.
Oh, I think the biggest one on that, you're just reminding me now, and trying to think back of all the things that we've had. Certainly the Richmond Hill. I voted for Richmond
Hill. You
did,
and you didn't contribute at all to the debate.
No, I didn't, but I was on the Department of Transport at the time, and one of the big issues there was that it really was an accident black spot. It needed doing. Now, I sat in at the meeting there.
I'm not questioning whether it needed doing.
No. And I'm telling you that the reason why I voted for it was because there was a lot going for it at the time, and perhaps other issues as well. The other big issue that I was really annoyed about, because If we're talking about times being tight, and indeed they are, and we'll get out of them, times will get better, and we've a lot going on for the Isle of Man, we've a lot of diversity of wealth generation, and that's good. What I was annoyed about was that we spent £1.8 million, nearly £2 million, and God knows what it'll finish up at, on the Ramsey Pier. Now, I spoke vehemently against that in two debates, you know, that if we're supposed to be saving money, you know, what on earth, you know, what justification was there for that? And there was very little argument back from that. And there was even people saying it was a tourist icon. Good gracious, you know, if we're going to be sincere and kept in what we're doing, well, you know, the schemes like that just are, and that's what I mean by whoever is going to be minister of a department in the future now has to be a real manager. They're not going to make friends, but that's the name of the game, unfortunately.
And people seeking re-election really can't make friends on the doorstep, can they? Because you can't promise people what we can't have economically.
You can't make a promise.
So what are you saying to people is the way that government is going to have to cut its spending over the next 5 years?
Government is going to cut its spending in any way that it possibly can.
So how? Which is why, tell me how.
Because this is why, well, it depends. I don't know every department, but every department looking at it now, but I think there are more ways we can always be leaner and keener. I remember the days when budgets had to be spent, so we spent all kinds of things in the last few months of the end of the financial year. That's got to stop now. We have anything that certainly staffing levels, that's a biggest cost in government staff. We're looking at that now. That is one of the ways in which we're looking at that now.
So you would be in favour of potentially more redundancies in the future?
Not redundancies. Redundancies are a bit hard. It's a word we're hearing more and more of now, and that on the doorstep. People stop and want to talk a little bit more about redundancies. Yes,
it's
a nasty word, but unfortunately it's part of the modern age. And when we say redundancies, there are people going with money. It's not being thrown out on the street with nothing. That doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't happen anyway. But we have to be better managers. Government is still a little bit complacent, you know, and we've seen recently, you know, £225,000 spent in the south of the island, which I just cannot get my head around either. But it's items like that. We have to be more answerable. Got to be more answerable. Okay. Because the people expect it.
Fast approaching the end of the programme here. So if you are re-elected, how do you feel about contributing to your own pension?
No problem at all. All my life I've contributed to a pension scheme. I inherited, I wanted this job, but I didn't go into it because of a pension or what I was going to get out of it. That was the least of you. You know, you want to do your bit, so paying into a pension fund, that's no problem at all.
You're not in favour of having a popularly elected chief minister, very briefly.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I think that would become a bit of a circus. I think that the people who are elected into the House of Keys, certainly those who have been there for some time, and certainly those who have been watchers for some time, who have gone in for the first time, know exact or have an idea, certainly people who have been there, have an idea of what qualities the government need from a leader. Always remembering there's never an ideal man or woman for the post, but you've got to pick the best chap. Now, I'm not saying that the public have a good idea too. The public are great watchers, but I think the people who have to work, he has to have a cohesive government that will work together and follow through plans that he or she has that we can follow and be a part of. We won't always agree on that, and that's a good thing in politics. But what I think the best people in this particular sphere, choosing a chief minister, is too important for the people who are involved in politics, working day by day, working with the chief minister. And I've had no problem with the outgoing chief minister, that we perhaps know that that's the qualities we want because we know the kind of job it is and what he or she has to do.
Well, Jeff Corkish, candidate for West Douglas, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you
for
joining us.
Sorry, you could have gone on longer.
That's all for now. I'll be back next week talking to the member for Peel who's seeking re-election, Tim Crookall. If you'd like more information about any of the candidates or constituencies, you can visit our dedicated website, election.manxradio.com. For now, goodbye.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.